Picture it, Palm Springs, California, 20 years in the future. A once young, vivacious, and muscly disco boy turned impressively in shape and well-groomed retiree. The air is hot, the sky blue, the boys tan, the drinks strong. Is this his life in retirement, or the trip of a lifetime? Is he enjoying his golden years, or getting a taste of what could have been?
There's personal finance for the masses. This is not personal finance for the masses.
Hey, let's see if this card goes through for that $8,000 drink.
Exactly. Everybody wants to be a part of the in crowd. Everybody wants to look good.
My decision was, I'm not a victim. I'm not going to stay and work someplace where this is a problem.
Normally, we don't drink on queer money, but because we're talking about a subject that David is rather vanilla on.
Grab a glass of wine, because you're listening to Queer Money with the Debt Free Guys. This is the only show helping our community do more and be more by talking about money from the queer perspective.
So, are these cheerleader golden years the years that you've always imagined, or are these the years that could have been? Is this the experience that could have been? That's what we're talking about today on this episode of Queer Money. David and I have the fortunate opportunity to join Prudential and their LGBT Financial Experience Tour again in next month in June, June 13th. We're going to be in Newark, New Jersey at their LGBT Financial Experience Symposium talking about what else but queer money. Right. It's a hot topic these days. And all of this plays off of a study that Prudential did. They actually did an original study called the LGBT Financial Experience Study in 2012. Then they redid that study, or I guess they did a newer study, in 2016, 2017. And those studies have provided a wealth of information that financial professionals, including David and I, use constantly in our writing for debtfreeguys.com, as well as other publications about LGBT money. And that's what we're going to be, that's what this whole symposium next month is predicated on. And David and I wanted to talk today a little bit about that study, the information that you can glean from it, and how you might be able to use it to help you. And of course, we wanted to promote for anybody that's in the tri-state area, Newark, New Jersey, or Pennsylvania, and can make it to the symposium to certainly please join us.
Yeah, definitely. I think that the key here is, we want to help answer the question of how do I compare to my peers when it comes to finances in the LGBT community? And based on what I learn, what can I do, or what kind of improvements can I make? You know, I've said this several times and I'll say it again. The more you know slogan, in my opinion, is a load of bullshit unless you do something with what you know. Knowledge is not power until that power is put into action, or it's not created until you put it into action. It's like having the gasoline, but not doing anything with the engine, not putting it in the engine and actually moving it forward.
I don't get that metaphor.
I'm sure you don't. But so that's the reality here with this study is Prudential does this not only so that they can learn, but they do it for the millions of queer individuals living in our country so that they can help us achieve the financial prosperity and dreams that we all have. And we want to kind of look at some of these interesting topics or interesting statistics in this study. There's a couple that we've picked out, and we think that they really shine a light on the opportunities and the maybe some of the challenges that we have as a community.
Yeah, exactly. Prudential's LGBT Financial Experience Initiative and the Debt Free Guys mission, along with our Queer Money podcast, have a very symbiotic relationship, so we play off each other very well. And our goal is to help build a stronger queer community. And we believe that one of the pillars of that is having financially strong queer individuals.
Right.
If we're concerned about debt, if we're concerned about retirement, if we're concerned about all these extraneous financial concerns, then we can't be focused on fighting for equality or striving for self-actualization. That ultimately is what we're all seeking.
Right. So and when you say self-actualization, really what that means is having a good time, because you're truly satisfied with your life and enjoying your life when you're self-actualized. And I think that's what we all strive for, is that life of really enjoying ourselves.
Well, yes. And that's having feeling that life is truly valuable and that you're able to contribute.
Right. Clearly, this is not a good time, as in going out to dinner with your friends or having a party or staying up till 2 o'clock in the morning dancing. It's not that kind of good time. This is the overarching good time of your life.
Exactly.
Being able to say that 2017 was an awesome year because of all of the valuable things that happened to me,
you've done for people. And, you know, laying on a poolside in Palm Springs might be an example of having achieved that self-actualization, because you can lay there restfully and blissfully and not be concerned, how am I going to pay off this trip when I get home?
Right.
Because you might already be home.
Right, exactly.
So you pulled out the other day, you pulled out a couple of items that you thought were quite interesting. Some of the information I hadn't even gleaned myself from some of the writing that we do for different publications. So what do you want to tackle the first one?
Sure. The first topic that I pulled out, or item that I pulled out of this study, was that marriage equality is simplifying financial lives for the queer community. And when you think about it, there were so many nuanced things that as a community or as couples that we had to deal with. There's health insurance. As domestic partners, does my company support that? Does that mean that my partner can't move to a different job, or I can't move to a different job if the company I'm moving to no longer supports domestic partnership? Or is there a tax benefit or a tax penalty based on us being domestic partners? Mute point. It's done. If you're married, you're treated just like everyone else. So it has simplified a lot of aspects of our financial relationship with money. And the thing that happens when something simplifies is it becomes much more clear. We all understand that. I mean, it's kind of like when you're looking at a dot-to-dot picture, you know, the one you were a kid and you used to do the dot-to-dot. You remember the ones where you could look at it and you could basically make an outline. You could see what that picture was without having to even trace the dots. And that's kind of what has happened here with the marriage equality when it comes to our finances, is it is a much more clear picture. Now, granted, there are still some nuances. Some couples are still having to determine whether or not they should be married filing jointly or married filing separately. But that's something that our straight counterparts have been dealing with ever since this stupid tax code came into effect.
Right.
They've been having to deal or try to figure out what was most advantageous. And now that's something we can do as a community when we avail ourselves of the marriage equality laws.
Right. It does seem that right now, even though things have simplified, and in part because things have simplified, that the LGBT community, the people who reach out to us and what we read online and in publications, the question now is, what does it mean?
Right.
Well, now what?
What do I do now?
You know, because we had an attorney on a couple episodes back, and she talked about how after marriage equality passed, Liz Schwartz, she said after marriage equality passed, then all of a sudden a whole bunch of LGBT people went out and got married. And then it wasn't until after their wedding that they were like, oh, there are tax consequences or there are tax benefits. How does Social Security play in all this?
Right.
Oh, did I take – all of a sudden now I own my partner's debt. I didn't know that. Now it's – now you own whatever debt they brought to the table. So it's important for us to understand what exactly does marriage mean to our finances as well as other aspects of our lives, and be prepared and make decisions accordingly.
Right. As a matter of fact, we actually had a reader of our blog reach out to us and say, I'm in this situation, this financial situation. I make a significant amount of money and I'm doing well financially. My partner is in debt. What do we do? And the reality is those are the kinds of conversations that we're now starting to have. And instead of saying, well, you've got 40 different options, because there literally were so many different options, now you can say, well, if you decide to get married, these are the things that will happen.
Right. And it's great that I get happy every time I get emails like that, because at least people are asking the question. You know, sometimes they ask questions that we don't know the answers to immediately, but at least they're asking the questions and not just diving into something and dealing with the consequences after the fact. So yes, marriage equality is making things more simple, which is great. But it's also incumbent upon us to find out exactly what does that mean before we dive into and walk down the aisle.
exactly. One of the other things that really this has helped a lot of individuals in our community, or a lot of couples in our community, be able to focus on now is that they are now realizing that as a household, they can combine their financial goals and work on them together. Now, granted, a lot of us were already living together long before and may have had common financial goals. But the nice thing is now the laws recognize those common financial goals and benefit us because of those. Yeah, that they are benefits to the fact that we are getting married, Social Security benefits, inheritance benefits. And that's one of the things that a lot of couples are really starting to think about now is how do you have a succession plan or legacy plan for your money and for your family? Exactly. You know, we're seeing more and more families with children in the LGBT community. And as parents, we want to make sure that we provide as much as we can or in a beneficial manner for our children while they're with us. But more of us are now thinking about beyond our lives. And in my opinion, that's an awesome thing for our community is that we are starting to think much more beyond our here and now, today, or my lifetime. We're starting to think what's going to happen. How can I support causes or my family 100 years from now?
Right. Well, and that to me is a step closer to self-actualization. If we have the luxury and the opportunity to just say, okay, how can I help contribute to my family and my community after I'm gone? That's a great opportunity. And that helps strengthen individual families, but it can help strengthen the LGBT community to continue to strive for equality and get those full rights. You mentioned Social Security. We're going to have a guest on Queer Money in a few weeks who's going to talk about the benefits of Social Security that many LGBT, or say I should say same-sex couples, are leaving on the table, and they're leaving anywhere from a couple hundred thousand to millions of dollars on the table because they're not appropriately taking advantage of Social Security. So we'll talk about that in a couple of weeks. So look out for that so that you don't miss out on that opportunity.
Yeah, definitely. I will say, join our Facebook group, the Queer Money Facebook group, so that you get a notice when this podcast comes up, because we'll definitely call that out in the Facebook group that this is one that our community really needs to be paying attention to.
Right. And while we're doing invites, and part of the reason that we're doing this episode today, one, to share the information, but also because we want to inspire, motivate people to come join us at the Prudential LGBT Financial Experience Symposium on June 13th. It is in Newark, New Jersey at Cayo Hall at 655 Broad Street from 6 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. June 13th. And we'll repeat that a couple times and have it in the show notes. But if you can make it, that'd be great. If you know anybody that is in the area that would be able to make it, that'd be great too.
Yeah, definitely pass it along to anyone you know that is in that area. All right, so let's move on to the second point here. And this is one that I had to smile at because it's almost a cliche in our global community, especially here in the United States. I think a lot of us think of this, but I think in the world, this whole idea of the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer. And this is a statistic that I think that will maybe not surprise many of us, but it also may impress upon us what some people are doing. So one of the things that was found out in the study is that there are now more people in our community who are living at the, and these are the described categories, unable to keep up with my expenses, or in the I'm making ends meet, but it's a struggle categories. That number increased from 31% to 41%. So 41% of our community is either saying that they are falling behind financially, they're not able to keep up with their expenses, or they're struggling to meet the necessities. At the same time, the top tier of individuals, those individuals who say, I'm doing what I want, when I want, where I want, increased from 2% to 15% in just 2 years. So there's almost this dichotomy of what is happening in our community, breaking apart into this the groups of individuals who are struggling, as well as those who are able to do more with their money.
You mentioned 2 years. Is it between the 2012 and 2016 study?
I'm sorry. Or? Yeah, you're okay. Right. A four-year difference.
All right. So for those who are struggling a little bit more, or trying to make ends meet, between 2012 and 2016, that increased 10% from 31% to 41%. And for those who are able to sort of live the life of self-actualized, who can do what they want, when they want, where they want, that increased, that community or that group cohort increased from 2% to 15%. So that's all 13% increase in right. those 4 years.
Right.
Okay.
And the thing that I find very interesting about this, and like we said at the beginning, some of these statistics are going to surprise us or maybe pique our interest. And some of them are ones that are able to learn from. And I really think that this is one that we can learn from. And the reason I say that is because as a community, as a group, as a whole, a lot of us talk about our earning power and our income being less than our straight counterparts. And as we've seen in a study that was done by Experian, and I think this was done in 2012 as well, that 2011, that as couples, gay men earn more than their straight counterparts who are part of a couple. As couples, lesbians earn more than their straight counterpart females who are in a relationship. But as individuals, straight man versus gay man, lesbian versus the straight woman, they do earn less. But what it really impresses upon me here in this is that there are some people, and evidently a fairly large portion of our community, who seem to be working hard enough to take advantage of the opportunities that they are now being able to say, I'm doing what I want, when I want, where I want.
Exactly. I wonder, that is a very interesting statistic. I wonder, the question I have is, I wonder where these people live throughout the country.
Right.
Are the people who are doing better the ones who live in the states or the cities where it's easier to be out and yourself, and those who are struggling or living in states or cities where they still, to a more or less degree, need to be in the closet?
So the study did do a cross segment all across America, small towns all the way to big cities. The study had 1,376 individuals who identify. And one of the interesting things is they asked the individual that they have to identify as 100% LGBT, that they are out. This is not individuals who are living in a town or a city where they may not be out and known that they are gay. So they're actually saying that, or that they're queer. They're asking for individuals who 100% identify as LGBT because they want to make sure that they're kind of separating these two groups.
Yeah, trying to keep the study pure.
Right. And they really looked at all across the country. They have the country is basically broken down into four regions. Four. So Midwest, West, South, and Northeast. And they took a representative sample from all of those areas. So we may be inclined to think, okay, it's only the successful people who are living in the big cities that are able to take advantage of this. And granted, that may be the case, that there are more opportunities for individuals who are living in some of those places. But the study doesn't necessarily break down where it is that the successful people or these individuals who say that they are doing what they want financially, it doesn't say where they're living.
Gotcha. I think that'd be interesting to see if they could maybe add that in a future study. But it does beg the question of why is there disparity? I mean, we hold, as a community, we tend to be more liberal, and we argue and talk a lot about how there is a separating of those doing well and those who are not doing so well. But here it's happening within our own community. And so it begs the question, why is that happening? And then what can we do about it? Because as somebody who thinks about LGBT money constantly, it is concerning. We need to lift all boats. We can't just lift those whose boats it's easy to lift. We need to lift everybody. So how do we, why are those people struggling, and how can we help them, and how can they help themselves?
Right. I think to me, one of the important points from this is that there are individuals in our community who are figuring out how to grow financially, whether it's in their careers and how much money they make or the investments that they're making that is allowing them to reach this point. One of the interesting things is that in the general population, about 16% of people say that they are doing what they want when they want. And now in our community, it's 15%. So we're catching up to the overall population. And I think what we really need to do is, if you find yourself in that category of saying, I am unable to keep up with my expenses, or I'm making ends meet, but I struggle every month, who are those people that are close to you, nearby, maybe within your circle of friends, or maybe just outside of your circle of friends? Who are those people that are doing something successfully and getting to that point? And how can I learn from them? And what we've heard this statistic over and over again, that approximately 40% of the queer community is working in retail and service. And that oftentimes means that these are individuals who are maybe capped at their earning potential. And so maybe it's time.
They have retirement plans.
Right. Yeah, maybe it's time for us as a community to say, we can do anything we want and not limit ourselves to feeling like we have to operate within a certain industry or certain group. It's time to say, I'm done with the past. I'm ready to move on to a better future and make those decisions. Granted, not everyone can do that easily, but everyone can do that. Everyone can improve at some point.
Right. This isn't my quote, but I don't remember who said it, and I apologize. But we heard a quote several times before that your circumstances are not a life sentence. And you and I know full well, we got together and brought a lot of limiting beliefs about ourselves, about money, and about what we were worth. And that manifested itself in our $51,000 worth of credit card debt, which is pretty much how this whole journey that we're on started. So I would argue that while it is incumbent upon those of us who have the knowledge and the influence and the resources to help our community, that it's also those who need the help, it's their responsibility to sort of seek the help. And that, like you said, is trying to getting connected with the people who seem to know what they're doing and seem to be progressing in their life the way that you might want to progress. And I'll also say, David and I just did an analysis of our finances not too long ago, and a large component of our financial success comes down to our contributions to our 401k.
Right.
And so, we made the comment that a lot of our community tends to be in retail and service, and those are often positions that don't have retirement plans, or the income, unfortunately, doesn't lend themselves to be able to contribute to those retirement plans.
Right.
And that's why you might want to seek getting into an industry or a career that lends itself to that. And that's part of what we wrote about in Forbes not too long ago, the article we wrote, there aren't enough queer business leaders, and that's a problem. This is part of why it's a problem. We need more queer people to branch out into other industries, to position themselves as leaders in those industries, not only for all of our success, but for their individual success, and so that they can find themselves in their 50s, 60s, and 70s sitting by the pool there in Palm Springs.
Right, which is a dream of John and mine. Yeah.
That's our dream. You might want to go to PV or to Fire Island for your retirement. We're going to go to Palm Springs.
Or in the back of a Subaru in the mountains of Colorado or Utah or something like that. Right?
Exactly.
So one of the interesting things, though, is that and this last point, what I'm going to dive into is in this study, but John and I, the whole reason that we do this, the whole reason we have our podcast, the whole reason we have our website, and that we provide the plethora of free information that we give, is because we want you as an individual to progress. You are the reason why we're doing this. Our financial success is already apparent. We know that John and I know that we are doing well financially, but we want you to be there too. We want you to join us. One of the things we've said in the past is we want you to join us in building a financially strong queer community, because a financially strong queer community is one of the pillars of a strong queer community. If we're distracted by all these financial worries, We can't be dedicating ourselves to giving back to our community, whether it's time or money. It just won't be there. So this last point, and
before we go a step further, if you want to meet us to help talk about how you can join us on that journey or meet other people who are also of like minds and trying to help the queer community, join us at Prudential's LGBT Financial Experience Symposium, Tuesday, June 13th, 2017, from 6 p.m. to 9:30 at Cayo Hall, 655 Broad Street, Newark, New Jersey. And I'll make another plug or two of that again before the show's over.
Exactly. So one of the things that this study really pointed out was that the vast majority of us, especially those individuals who are not in that top category of feeling like they do what they want, when they want, and how they want, the individuals who are not in that category are saying that they need and want more knowledge about how to manage their finances, whether it's investing, getting out of debt, planning for retirement, or being able to just cover their expenses so they can take a breath and figure out what the next step is to get better. So that's one of the big things here, is that there's a lack of or a desire for more information. And that's one of the big things that this study brought out, was that they say, people say that they want more. And one of the things that it really kind of we want to kind of address here is that more of us, what it really means is achieving some of our goals. And the top three things that we bring out here is that we want to be financially independent and not be a burden, a financial burden, either on our families or on our partners as we get older. One of the other ones is having enough savings that it will last my lifetime. This is one of the things that our community is really saying that they absolutely want. And I think one of the big things here is the reason why so many of us know that we want this, to have enough money to last a lifetime, is as a community, we are aging. There are more of us who are living longer, especially now that we see that there are treatments for HIV, and so many men who didn't expect to, men and women who didn't expect to live into their 50s and 60s are now doing so. So we now have this understanding, and in some cases, maybe a little bit of urgency with that my life is going to last until as long as my grandparents, and I need to be prepared for that.
Now, to that point, I'll add, unfortunately, most of the emails that we get when people do finally reach out to us, it's not because they're in the discovery phase. They just want to figure out how they can improve their financial lives. That does happen to a percent. Predominantly, it's when people reach a critical situation. Either they're so leveraged on debt that they're either going to have to file bankruptcy or take other drastic means. That's when they reach out to us, or they reach out to us when they are 55, 60, and now they're finally scared about retirement. So part of this message is trying to inspire you to think about these concerns sooner so that it doesn't become a critical situation, because the earlier you start, the easier it is, and the more you can, more comprehensively you can plan and strategize.
Right. And then the last point of these three about what we want financial knowledge about is building or growing an emergency savings account, which John and I think is very interesting. Now, I'll just make a caveat here. All three of these points, being financially independent, not being a burden on our family, and then having enough money and savings to last my lifetime, and then finally, building or growing an emergency savings account, all three of those, 61% or more of the respondents said that they wanted help achieving that. So it's at least two-thirds of people in our community are saying that they want help being able to do these things. And we know from an article that came out, I think it was in 2015, in The Atlantic, where it said that 47% of Americans could not handle a $400 emergency. They just wouldn't have, and that's not just coming up with the cash. They wouldn't have the cash or the credit to be able to handle that emergency. So that's a massive number of people. Tens of millions and possibly hundreds of millions of people in this country who wouldn't have that, be able to do that. Well, obviously, a fair portion of those people are a part of our LGBT community.
Right. And part of what that Atlantic article highlighted was that the people who had that particular struggle weren't always the people that you assumed it would be. The person who wrote that article was a author and of books and movies, and lives in Connecticut, New Hampshire, where you presumably it's predominantly more white, wealthy, educated, higher income earning people are. But he was talking about how you would be surprised the quote unquote successful people who couldn't handle that emergency, because even most of Americans are living beyond their means,
right?
Regardless of what their income bracket is, most of us are living beyond our means. So if you are one of those people who says you're struggling from month to month, don't think that you're in an isolated situation. People who seemingly have more and are an easier life are also having similar struggles.
Right. Yeah. It kind of really highlights to me this this whole idea of taking a look at where your finances are. So many people who live paycheck to paycheck are doing that because of the financial choices that they've made. They've chosen to purchase a particular home, buy a particular car. The example of the man who wrote the article in Atlantic, he was sending his kids to private school.
Right.
And he said he realized there are some choices that I've made, financial choices that I've made, that are preventing me from actually getting myself stable financially. And I need to maybe rethink or look again at some of those choices.
It's very interesting. A couple of previous Queer Money episodes ago, we had Todd Tressiter on from The Financial Mentor. And he talked about how his kids go to a school. I don't think it was private, but they go to
it's a private school.
But he didn't say what kind of cars he and his wife drive, but he said they're not special. I got the impression that there might be Hondas or Jettas or, you know, something pretty.
He did say a minivan.
Basic or simple. But everybody else in the school, all the other parents drive BMWs and Audis and, you know, the Escalades. But when the school raised tuition, so many kids had to drop out because the 5 or 10% increase in tuition was too much for a lot of these families who had Escalades and Mercedes for them to withstand. And he said, we drive these basic cars that are paid off, and we go on 3-month-long vacations a year, whereas these families don't. Their entire life is based on the cars and the houses that they own. And David and I are prime examples of that. You know, all of our financial mistakes were of our own making. We were living way beyond our means, and we know that, and there are reasons why that was the case. But we couldn't blame anybody else but ourselves. And so it's interesting, you know, the information that you're providing here. It's inspiring, though, because it does show that people are thinking about it. It is top of mind, and now they just need to find the resources to get the help that they need. And Prudential is obviously a resource for people to consider, and Debt Free Guys is obviously, and Queer Money is another resource. I'll add to that, get off my soapbox. If you go to debtfreeguys.com/talk, we have about 12 bits of free information and resources for people to help them with their financial situation. So if you want a list of free resources, you can go there.
Yeah, we'll link to that in the show notes. We'll also link to this study in the show notes, because there is a ton of information, very interesting information in the study. One of the ones that we always like to point out is the categories that we as gay men versus lesbians, the categories that we spend our money in, which I think is not necessarily surprising, but it's a kind of a reminder.
There's a reason why cliches exist.
Right. It's kind of a reminder of who we are and how we operate. So we definitely would encourage you to check out the study. And we'll just jump back to it again. If you're in the Newark, New Jersey area, or tri-state
New York
area,
or Pennsylvania.
Right, exactly. We ask or encourage you to join us.
So if you happen to be in the tri-state area on June 13th, whether New York, New Jersey, or Pennsylvania, or you know someone who is and who could benefit from this, please join yourself or have them join us at Cayo Hall at 655 Broad Street, Newark, New Jersey, Tuesday, June 13th, 2017, from 6 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. It's sure to be a fun, lively event.
Right. And definitely, we're going to have a whole discussion. We'll be a part of, John and I are doing a fireside chat, and there's going to be a panel there talking about the opportunities of the community. John and I will be giving away signed copies of our book.
Free.
Yep, free. And there will be some food and drink and lively discussion. So we'd love to see you, have you join us. If you're not able to make it, you're not going to be there, make sure you follow us on social media leading up to the event and afterwards. We'll be posting on our Debt Free Guys Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram accounts various things that we've done as a part of the event.
Exactly. And we ask you, just please engage. If you're able to come to the event, great. Provide your voice. If you can come to that or you can't, you can engage with us on social media. Let us know how you relate to the study and what information or resources you could use. Let us know what struggles you might have or successes that you might have that we might not be considering. Because our goal is to help as many people as possible. We understand that we can kind of very often get in a bubble and think quite myopically, and we look to you to help challenge our thinking so that we can reach more people.
Exactly.
So thank you for joining us for another episode of Queer Money.
Yeah. And maybe someday you'll be the guy or woman sitting by the pool enjoying happily ever after. Thanks again for joining us for this week's Queer Money. Once again, the three key points from the Prudential study that we highlighted were, first, marriage equality is simplifying our financial lives. So take advantage of the simplification and start using it to your advantage to improve your financial lives. Second, even in our own LGBT community, the rich are getting richer. If you find yourself in the group that is falling behind or struggling, look to those who are a success and start to mimic or even reach out to them for guidance on how you can improve your financial situation. Remember, the effort and the change will be worth it. And then third, LGBT respondents in the Prudential study overwhelmingly say that they need and want more information and experiences in order to tackle their financial goals. Please use us as a resource and feel free to email us or contact us via social media with any questions that you may have. And we'll do our best to give you the answer or provide you with a resource that can help you get more information. Thanks again. Have a great week. And remember to live debt-free, have fun, and be money conscious.
Okay. We just serviced you, now you get to service us by subscribing to this podcast on iTunes and signing up for the Queer Money Lifestyle newsletter at queer.money.
Well, I'm not really gay. It
would help me if I had a personal chef, made all my healthy meals for me.
Right.
So instead I'll have a Snickers tonight for dinner.
The other end, I like the butts, so...